Man, how many of y'all excited today that we worship an amazing God? Anybody glad to know? We worship an amazing God. So, hey, logically following me, then that means inside of you, because Jesus Christ is inside of you, there is an amazing person in you waiting to get out. And some of you have let it out, and some of you are working on it. Some of you let that amazing person God out that God made out, and it scared you, and you put him back in, and or put her back in. But God's wanting to do some really cool things. We had a miracle in the first service. Let's pray that we have a miracle in the second service. We finished the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians. And so I want to take you there. I want to give you three headlines. I'm going to kind of go fast through this today. And you can go back and catch this in marriage class and other places, the details. But I think the Lord's got a very prominent message to us today as believers. Okay, as what? Now, when we get to 1 Corinthians, you see a distinctive between those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a distinctive. You say, listen, if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know my sins are forgiven. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a different lifestyle than if, hey, I reject the things of Jesus Christ. I reject the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to marriage, he says, wait a minute, if you're going to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a different marriage. That's a different kind of marriage. In fact, I would go this far. I don't know how you stay married without Jesus. I just can't imagine it. Because my marriage is the marriage that we have, Elizabeth and I have, I always say this. We've been married, we'll be 29 years in December by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always tell Elizabeth every anniversary, I said, I'm married 28 years longer than I thought I was going to be the first year. Because the first year, I thought it was done. And so I want you to know the first section of 1 Corinthians, I want you to hear this. If you are married, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are married, stay that way. Stay married. Now, if you've been divorced, I don't want you to go through the guilties. If you're on the second time around, you're locked in, you're doing it right, praise God. Amen. Let's get there. Praise God. Amen. Now, however, I know this. Nobody that's been through a divorce would want their children to go through a divorce. How many of y'all have ever said, man, I tell you what, I just hope my kids get divorced sometime. And you don't do that. And so we do need to reclaim this. As believers, marriage is permanent. Now, I also want to be honest. You can't always stay married. You can't always stay married. Sometimes they leave and you had nothing to do with that. Let's be honest. So, as a pastor, I take a lot of heat from some other pastors, but I have a hard time just saying each marriage is different. Each situation has a different set of problems, and I don't think you can just draw a blanket statement. You can on this. If you choose to be married, Paul's teaching through the Holy Spirit is once you get married, your desire should be to stay married. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible teaches. If you choose to be married, now listen, the Bible gives that. Bible says you don't have to be married. How many of y'all understand this? You do not have to be married to have a full and abundant life. In fact, Paul says it is easier to have a full and abundant life not married. And I've given you all this warning. If you want to do things like you want to do them all the time, you always got to have your way. You never can compromise. And it's all about you. Would you please not marry another human being? Because you're going to be divorced. And watch this. If you've been like divorced like six times, there's a reason for that. You. It's not the people you're marrying. It's that you want to have life in your own terms, your own way, and your own ability. And listen, to be married requires this. There is no way to be married and not negotiate. You can't do like Congress. You can't just have a shutdown in marriage, okay? You're going to have to negotiate. How many of y'all found that to be true? Those of you that have been in a marriage or are in a marriage, that to stay married, you got to negotiate. You do. It's not going to be just your way. It's not going to be just his way or her way. You want God's way in the middle of it. And if it's truly God's way, God brings us together. God brings us together. God doesn't tell us things that bring unpeace, things that aren't peaceful. I'm going to show you that here in Scripture. Let's look. He says this, if you choose to be married, remember, if you choose to be married, to the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried until she's reconciled to her husband. Because, note what he said. Paul's not being ugly here. He said, the desire is to stay married, but if there has to be separation, he's saying, listen, remain unmarried. Now, here's what Paul's really preventing. You don't get to separate for whoops, there's another. Amen? I want to be clear on this because apparently we're confused about this in today's times. I have people come to my office and they say, Pastor Ayers, I want to tell you, I've talked to the Lord. Everybody talks to the Lord. You wouldn't believe all the people that talk to the Lord. And it's amazing to me because the Lord talks to them totally different than he does me. Usually when God tells me something, since he's sovereign, he never changes his mind. So what he tells me on Monday is the same as Tuesday. If he tells me to go, that means go till I tell you to come back. If he says come, that means come here until I tell you differently. God doesn't change his mind. God would never say this. I just want you to be clear. God would never say this. I want you to leave your husband and your wife because you found your soulmate. That is not in the Scripture. But I hear it all the time. Pastor Ayers, you don't understand, all these years, I finally now found my soulmate. Baloney. Because here's what the Bible says. Once you got married, you were to stay what? Married. We got some people in here been married over 50 years and still like it. It's possible. Now listen, we need to redeem marriage because I'm just going to say something. It's going to blow you away. Divorce, since the early 60s, has cost this nation trillions of dollars. Trillions. Divorce is the number one way to get single mothers. It is statistically proven by Harvard and Princeton and Yale through their research and their studies of millions of dollars. They have discovered that children fare better with a mother and father both active in their lives. Is that not amazing? So we have a lot of sociological complex problems that are also an economic liability to a nation over this one simple principle. Marriage, stay there. Now you say, Pastor Ayers, why did people divorce? I want to tell you why. Because the devil put a lie in the heads of people in the 60s and told everybody it's about your personal happiness. True or false? So I want you to watch this. If you're going to stay married, personal happiness cannot be your driver. Does that make sense? It can't be your driver. Now, you're going to have some, but it can't be your driver. Now, ladies, I just want to help you with this. If you expect a man to make you happy, you're at a loss from the first thought of that. Men, if you expect the woman to bring you constantly happiness, you've been smoking something. Because it's not going to happen. Watch this. You and I cannot produce what only God can give. Everybody understand? Now, note what it happens. So here's the deal. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else reconcile to her husband. A husband must not divorce his wife. Husbands, our job is to honor our wives, not what? Divorce them. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. She just goes, nah, 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 nah. You know whose fault that is? You let it start in the beginning. I know that. I had one of our older couples came up to me. He was kind of funny. He said, yeah, I tell you. He said, when we started out, the Indian name of my wife is Five Horses. I said, Five Horses? He said, yeah, nag, 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 nag. Now, ladies, let me help you. Nagging doesn't work. And let me tell you something on husbands. Husbands, fussing doesn't work. Come on, get with me here for a minute. I know, listen, these last few sermons have been tough, hadn't it? Because it's where we live. It's just where we live. It's everyday life. How many of y'all found, watch it, let me start with me. Unfortunately, in the beginning of my marriage, I was foolish. All my life, I'd been in a locker room. I'd come out of this intensity, and I would yell and scream at my wife. And I want to just tell you, husbands, if you're yelling and screaming at your wife, I just want to help you. I don't care how tough she is, she doesn't like it. It didn't work. And so you got to communicate
and not cause a disruption. Guess what? When I quit screaming and yelling and started talking, it started happening. When I talked like a human being and not like an outside linebacker, it doesn't work. Well, ladies, let me help you with this. I know y'all think it does. That doesn't work on us. Some of us just surrender so y'all will shut up. But it's not life. It's not communication. It doesn't bring life. Live with one another in a full and abundant way. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Which is, it's so, I got some of my dear friends, man, I can't even go out and eat with them because I can't listen to their wife for an hour. And they've done it for a lifetime. Just everything is miserable. Everything is a complaint. Everything is wrong. Doesn't matter what restaurant you go to. They wanted to go to the other one. Doesn't matter what car you drive. They wanted another one. And eventually that becomes very dissatisfying in life. True or false? So watch this. Our job is to live together, not just stay together, but what? Live together. How many of y'all married somebody that's got some flaws? Just wanted to check. Okay, good. How many of y'all after you got married, all their flaws just went away? Now, for all of us married folks, we need to help these unmarried folks out. Especially if you're thinking about getting married soon. Whatever you have in dating life, amplify it. So if you kind of get ticky, 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 ticky. In dating, this is what you get in marriage. Rah, 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 rah. If he's kind of like aloof in dating, this is the way he looks in marriage. It amplifies. Hold on, but so does all the good things. So date carefully. Also, I say this. Close friends that warn you, listen. If your mama's going, no! It's because she loves you. If you're a daughter and your dad calls you and says, hey, honey, I'm going to take you out to lunch. I need to talk to you. This guy you're dating is a bum. He's not doing that because he's mean or because he's ugly. It's because the guy's a bum. And your father has a vested interest that you are married and taken far away from his financial responsibility. He's on the side of you getting a great husband, but he doesn't want a bring back. It's self-preservation. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Be careful. Listen, people that love you and they tell you not to. Here's what's so cool. When Elizabeth and I got ready to get married, we were young. There was a lot of people that said we wouldn't work out. And they just looked at Elizabeth and they said, man, we can't believe you'd marry him. Well, I couldn't either. So when she said yes, I was going to go as quick as I could to get that deal legal. You see what I'm saying? But guess what? You stay married. Now, this first section is this. If you're married, learn how to work it out. Stay there. It's important that we stay in marriage. It's important that if you have a relationship, cloak it in marriage. To the rest, I say this. He says, not I. But the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. Now, this is what would happen back in the time. Sometimes both of you were just non-believers and one of them became a believer. And so the non-believer said, well, man, I'm leaving. I can't live with a Christian. But here's what he's saying as Christians. Even if your husband or wife does not believe, he says, as best as possible, stay with them. You know why? As a Christian, you can. As a Christian, you can be a graceful believer. But here's one of the things I find people do. I don't know why Christians require non-believers to act like Christians. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. When I'm with a group of people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? I expect them to live like they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have any boundaries. They don't have anything. They don't have any of the things of God. Because here's what I want you to know. Before you can live this life, you have to receive His life. So if you really want to stay married, listen, if you're not a believer yet, I promise you that is one of the greatest hindrances in your marriage because you cannot forgive. Here's what non-believers can't do. They cannot forgive.
Look at Congress. They're always in a tiz about something. They're always arguing about something because there's not a lot of believers up there because they don't believe they try to win against each other. Have you noticed that? It's about winning. It's not about living. And the same thing happens in a lot of marriage relationships when it's a non-believer's marriage. It's about who's going to what? Win and not how we're going to live. If you're a believer, I want you to know where to live in a full and abundant marriage. Pretty cool, isn't it? He even says this, listen, if they're not believers, stay with them as long as they'll stay. Now note though, look. And if a woman has a husband who's not a believer and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it are, they're holy. Here's what I want you to see by that. Note, he did not say they were saved. He said they were sanctified. They were holy. In other words, here's what he's saying. One parent is able to expose the truth of the gospel to the children. Didn't say they were saved. It said they were sanctified. That means this. They had the information. Isn't that neat? And he said that the presence of God is in the house through you. So if you're in a situation where you're a believer and you're surrounded by unbelievers, I want you to know the presence of God is in what? You. So be careful with it. Look at here. And this is not saying we don't make mistakes, because we do. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but they're not. They've been exposed to the gospel. Here's the heads up I have. Parents, note in the scripture, it is important that we expose our children to the gospel. We're very fervently committed to that here at Hillview. We try to give you as many different opportunities. Here's what I want you to know. Now, some of you are going to look at me and say, well, Pastor Steve, my kid went to youth group and went to this and went to that, and they still ended up smoking dope. I understand. I didn't say it was a guarantee, but I can give you a guarantee. Somewhere down the line, they're going to get tired of what's killing them, and they got something to come back to. And soccer practice doesn't do it. When your life's falling apart, soccer practice doesn't do it. Softball doesn't do it. Football doesn't do it. Basketball doesn't do it. We're absorbed in sports in this nation. We got kids that know how to kick a ball and don't know how to live a life. I mean, they don't. We got kids, you're talking about midlife crisis is coming. They never got to have adolescence. They never got to celebrate life because their parents were so obsessed that they become the best sports person that they ever became. And guess what? Here's the problem with sports. Everybody graduates from college and very few people go pro. And it's just not much to come back to, you know what I mean? Well, let me remember what I learned by doing basketball. Well, that don't hold up when you're in a relational problem, but guess what? What Jesus Christ has taught you holds up. So, parents, make sure if you're a believing parent in the Lord Jesus Christ, expose your children to the gospel. That does not mean that, watch this, that doesn't even mean they'll receive it. I can't save my kids. That's pretty tough, isn't it? I can't. But I want to expose them to Jesus Christ. I am responsible for the exposure to Jesus Christ. Here's what God said. One of the ways, you live a good marriage in front of them. How many of y'all want your children to have a good marriage? Talk to me. How many of y'all want your children to have a good marriage? Okay, watch this. Let me give you the plan. If you want your children to have a good marriage, here's the best way for them to have a good marriage. Have a good one in front of them. They learn more from that than they do a Dr. Phil book. Yeah, have a good one in front of them. How many of y'all got a marriage where your kids are going, yeah, I kind of want to be like mom and dad. Now, I know when they're 16, they don't want to be like you at all. But, I mean, eventually they found some fathers. You need to set an example for your sons. My dad took my mom out, took care of her. Ladies, say something positive about your husband at least once a week. Start there. Yeah, that causes encouragement. Kids pick up on that, amen? They pick up on that. They pick up on that. Now look at here. Stay married. That's the first part. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances. I want you to underline this and see this part of the scripture. God has called us to live in peace. You know what that means, Christians? Your relationship as believers ought to be a peaceful relationship. Shame on us when we're at Walmart and we're taking each other apart down the bread aisle and people are looking at us going, we're arguing over bagels, whether they ought to have seeds on them or not. And people are going, if these are believers, I don't want it. Live at peace. How many of y'all want to be in a relationship where somebody berates you all the time? Listen, people don't like your name. When you call each other stupid, do people like that? How many of you say, man, I can't wait to be cussed today? Don't live a relationship like it, man. It blows a witness. I mean, it tears it up. It don't matter how many tracks. Act like you love each other because you do. Live in peace. Here's what it says. Even if that unbelieving spouse goes, it is better to leave it. Let them go. That's the choice they made. Sometimes, listen, that's why, man, don't be spanking on divorced people. I get so tired of the church, man, just father divorced. Don't write people off. You never know what some folks have gone through. Amen. You let God handle the saving and the gracing. You make sure you're a part of the living. Does that make sense? Let God handle judgment. Let God handle salvation. Let God handle restoration. But you make sure you living out the things that God's called you to. Amen. If you do that, you've had a full and abundant life. But you know what we tend to do? We tend to live little and judge much. How many of y'all notice that? Instead of saying, you know what, I want to live a life that's pleasing unto God. Now, here's what he tells us. How do you know, wife, whether you'll save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you'll save your wife? Here, I'm not going to stay here very long. I'm just going to tell you this. We will not change each other. How many of y'all found that to be true? How many of you ladies, listen, I have to do this all the time. It makes me so frustrated about all these beautiful little girls we got in the church. They drag some heathen into my office, just living wilder than hell. And he comes in and they say, well, now I say, is he a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, Pastor Steve, he's not. He's not. But I'm telling you, I'm going to marry him and he'll come to know. He ain't going to come to know Jesus. You're going to be back in there 3 years in my office going, I can't believe he's like this. I said, well, why can't you? I told you what he was going to be. And they get mad at me and they call me, they don't call me son of my mama, they call me something else. And, why would I tell you that? Because I want what God said for you in your life. Now, your counter response is, well, I don't care how you feel. Because here's what I know, your feel is wrong, and your feeler don't work. I know that's bad English, but I'm just bringing it across where we can understand. Your feeler does not work. How you like that? It doesn't work. Why? Because it's not what I feel. It's what God says. Believers, if you a believer, you need to marry a what? Believer. That means you got to do some homework. You got to live together. You got to work together. You got to love together. Amen? Yeah. So I'm just going to get on ChristianMingle.com single and find me. Well, that's fine. But even check them out there. You know why? I bet people lie on ChristianMingle.single. What do you think? You better get to know somebody. Amen. But it's about living. All right, everybody clear. That whole section of scripture says this. If you choose to be married, stay what? Now, guess what it says? If you choose to be married, stay married, even when you don't feel like being what? Married. Now, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Only marriages that have been around for a while, raise your hand on this. Don't even raise your hand on this because I want y'all to have a great afternoon. On second thought, I'm just going to tell you about me. There have been times I didn't want to be married when I was married. There have been times when Elizabeth and I have been just piffed at each other. Now, let me tell you what I've learned. When we got in those piffy moods, we were in those piffy moods because both of us wanted what we wanted and we didn't want what God wanted. And let me tell you what it took to get out of that mood. We had to come to the altar. We had to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I've made a mistake. And here's what I love about Elizabeth. She confessed her part and I confessed my part. Now, here's what a lot of you want to do. You're great at confessing your spouse's sins. You're horrible at confessing yours. There's no relief till you confess what? Your sin.
You know, there's times I know that y'all find this hard to believe, but I had to say, Lord, I have been an absolute jerk to Elizabeth. And I was waiting for the Lord to say, no, you haven't, son. But guess what he said, Mike? He said, you're absolutely right. And why do you act like that when I've not made you that way? Well, Lord, I tell you, I think. He goes, that's the way I told you to be. No, sir. Lord kind of deals with me a little bit different. He kind of deals with me like Father God. He goes, did I tell you to be that stuff? No, you haven't. No, sir. It isn't what? Yes, you're right. And when you repent, guess what happens? You live in freedom. Now, here's what I want you to know. It doesn't matter who you are. God's got a blessing for you. How many of y'all are glad about that? It doesn't matter where you live. Now, the second thing he teaches us is this. Don't worry about what you do. Worry that you receive God in who you are. Your earthly status does not dictate your full and abundant life. Somebody ought to say, amen. Now, if you want to know how crazy your pastor is, here's how crazy I am. I think everybody's important. Because I went to school. And I want to tell you who's important at school. Cafeteria lady. I loved all my cafeteria ladies. You know why? I figured it out real early. You nice to cafeteria ladies, you get more green beans. You could tell the mean kids in the school they had 3 green beans on their plate. Only what the state required. But Ron, who'd you like at school? I love cafeteria ladies. I couldn't wait to lunch every day at school. School's the only place in the world that serves pizza and corn. That's what was so cool about it. How many of y'all remember pizza and corn? Now, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all go to Pizza Hut and say, man, I'd like a large pizza and 4 cobs? Nobody. Except at school. It was every Friday. Amen? We had pizza and we had fish so the Catholics didn't have to sin. Y'all remember that? Every Friday. But I was always nice because you know what? Here's what I realized. Everybody's important. Everybody's important. My dear friend, Willard Bell, he's in the great cloud of witnesses. Willard cleaned our school. He was a part of it. But you know what? Willard was important to me. And Willard was my friend because you know what? Willard let me in when I locked my school books in. He's the only one that had a key. None of those people with a PhD had a key to the school, but Willard Bell had a key to the school. And Willard, he couldn't even spell PhD, but he had a key to the school. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Everybody's important. And now that I'm on a soapbox, I'm just going to go ahead and dance on top of it. One of the most harmful witnesses we have is when we put people down for what they do. I had a dear friend. He came in. He's a beautiful human being. He looked at me and he said, Pastor Steve, I'm just a garbage man. And he put his head down. And I took literally my hand, I pulled his head up, and I said, sir, with all due respect, don't you ever put your head down what you've been assigned to do. I said, I want to tell you, if you don't do your job, the world is a mess, literally. And I said, you do it to the glory of God, and you will live in the same status as the President of the United States. Here's what I love about God. He doesn't look at who we are. He looks at what we are. And we're either a sinner graced by God, or we're a sinner headed to hell. God's not impressed with alphabets in front of our name. Watch this. I'm going to run through this. I'm going to get real. It's going to mess with some of you. I got alphabets in front of my name, and on the day I die, they mean absolutely nothing. Some of us are more, we've spent more time getting alphabets in front of our name and letters behind our name than living a life. And God's called us to live a life. To live a life. To live a what? Life full and abundant, man. Check this out. God wants to be in you. He said it's not about the status. Now watch this. If you're married, live it unto God. And if you're single, live it unto God. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them. Just as God called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. That's a little tough to do, if y'all catch a drift there. I mean, if you can be circumcised, but it's hard to be uncircumcised. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just going to leave that at that. This is all we need to deal with. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commandments is what counts. Now, hold on. You say, oh, that's foreign to our land today. No, it's not. Some of y'all are more proud of being a Baptist than you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are more proud that you've learned five scriptures. That's not what it's about. Do you keep God's command? And by the way, I'm just going to give you all a warning right now. I want everybody to get this warning. If anybody tells you they have a perfect marriage, run. Because guess who you're talking to? A liar. How many of y'all have ever seen a perfect marriage? Me either. How many of y'all have seen some marriages that are effective? I mean, how many of y'all have ever seen a marriage without conflict? Me either. So when somebody tells you this, well, we've never fought. You know why? Because they've never lived. You're going to have some conflict if you're going to live a life. Amen? How many of y'all are raising children right now? How many of them have just done everything you want them to do? Brewer, does your child just, or does she act like you did? Okay, that's okay. You gave her the DNA. You and your sweet wife, right? But watch this. How many of us get freaked out because we think things aren't perfect? I've had people dissolve marriages because they think things aren't perfect. There's only one place of perfect, Jesus Christ. And nothing else is perfect. And I just hate to tell you that truth. I know I'm wiping some of you out. I'm blowing some of y'all's little faith system where you think you can read five Bible verses a day with a little Jesus story on the side and this little nice snow globe world creates in your life. It's not true. But I want to tell you, I want you to know that God loves you where you are in a very deep way. And he says, listen, it's about you knowing Jesus. Each person should remain in the situation they were when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's free person. Similarly, the one who was free is now Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves to human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person, check this out. Each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were called in when God called them. Let me just prove, did you realize that God said, listen, if you a slave, you still great in me. Here's what I want you to realize. Don't get so caught up in this world and don't get so caught up in pleasing human beings because whatever you're doing right now, you won't do it forever. True or false? And let me just help you. As soon as you retire, they'll forget you in a week. True or false? Some of you retire. True or false? I promise you right now, as soon as I retire from this church, there'll be some young buck up here preaching it, and y'all will be going, I tell you what, I'm glad we finally got rid of that old man. Rambled around. I've heard those same stories 14 times. I'm glad we got a new preacher with some new vision. And you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be in the back. I'm going to 8 o'clock service, and I'm going to eat Cracker Barrel at 9:30, just like everybody else. I'm going to be a civilian. Elizabeth's going to wheel me out of here, and I'm going to say, go get them, son. They won't remember. That's not, because guess what? That's not what it's about. I want to tell you something. Elizabeth will remember if I loved her. And Blake and Clay will remember if I was there as their father. And sometimes we trade in what's really important for other human beings. You young people, here's what I want you to know. Even if you're impressive, it won't be for long. Live. Live. Some of you already know that. You were a great high school athlete, and now you go back to the high school, and what do? They talk about the great athlete that's on the field. And you go, what about me? You're done. You're done. We put a whole lot of energy into temporary things. And Paul says, be careful. Don't become enslaved living up to other people's expectations. It's one of the things I've fought as a pastor. And if you are new to Hillview, by the way, I won't live up to your expectations. I refuse to do so. If you need another church, if you come see me, I'll give you the pastors in town that live up to everybody's expectations. I know them well, but I'm not one of them. I don't care what you think, because you're not God. But I do care what God thinks. That's what changes. And I hope you'll care what God thinks and not what everybody else thinks. Amen?
So you go ahead and live out your marriage. Even if your best friend's going, well, I don't know why you stay with her, because I love her. And they go, well, I couldn't stay with her. Well, good, you're not married to her. Amen? In fact, I'm going to tell you something. If everybody just take care of their own stuff, things would get better. It's none of your business what somebody else does. You know, I've seen ladies pull off grace like Jesus, and they'll go, well, Pastor, nobody else understands me. I said, I'm going to tell you what Jesus does, because you're acting just like him. Make sense? It's their business. Now the unmarried. What do we do with unmarried folks? Okay, we covered three categories there. We're going to finish. Y'all ready? We're fixing to finish. If you're unmarried, Paul is saying, evaluate the times. I want to tell you what I get from this unmarried situation. Don't make the decision hastily. Does that make sense? If you meet somebody in the next week, you think you're ready to get married, I would suggest that you give it a little more time than that to see what kind of person they are. Amen? In fact, if you want my recommendation, nobody should really marry till they see somebody in all four seasons. Make sense? Because I don't know about you. I got a spring me and a summer me and a fall me and a winter me, okay? And the summer me is a lot different than the winter me. The summer me is active. The winter me is active. I fluctuate size between summer and winter. In the winter, I'm much like a bear. I like to hibernate and eat a lot of honey. And I grow. Now, in the summer, I try to bring that back. However, things have changed. I got to be conscious all year long now because my winter lingers into the summer now. But you see what I'm saying? Know your seasons. Know somebody. Go have dinner with them. Listen to them. And watch this. I know you might like what I'm going to say here, but if you're unmarried, wait to have sex till you get married. Now, here's why God says that. Because God made men. And if men can have sex, they ignore everything else. True or false? Some of y'all looking down because you're going, man, I can't believe he's being that honest. I mean, it's absolutely true. If Elizabeth comes in and asks me, she says, honey, we can go, you know, Or I want to talk about these emotional things I have. I've never chosen B. You know what I'm talking about, Sheriff? I got to actually open myself up and think. Or I can just wake up and go, oh, thank you, Lord. I would rather go, oh, thank you, Lord. But hold on. Is the problem solved with that? Now, let me tell you. Y'all okay? Son, after last week, I thought everybody's going to die. Poor Elizabeth, she walked in a doctor's office. She works in the medical community. She walked in a doctor's office. And they looked at her and the doctor said, did that crazy husband of yours really make an elk sound in church Sunday morning? She said, not only once, in all three services, doc. He goes, how do you take it? She said, I just expect it. He does crazy things. Now watch, here's the limitation of sex, okay? Sex cannot build a relationship. It can enhance it, but it can't build it. So you need to have a relationship before you have it. Wait.
And you go, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't.
I'm telling you why wait. Ladies, don't let them. And here's why. They'll listen to you if they can't do that. They'll listen. I had to listen to Elizabeth. I'd say, honey, you know? She'd say, yeah, I know, but we're not. Ugh. Because it absolutely, you discover who you're really going to marry. And I think before you marry somebody, you better really discover who you're going to marry. And watch this. I had this with Elizabeth. We did healthy dating. I blew up one time. She said, I can't believe you. I said, oh, don't even run that by me. You've watched me throw fits for 5 years. And now I'm throwing a fit and you're asking me, you don't know why I'm throwing. I said, you watch me throw fits. But I said, here's what you thought. Since I married you, I'd be changed. Well, you thought wrong.
Now, I did eventually change. You know why? I don't throw fits anymore, because you know what Elizabeth did? Lord, I'm turning him over to you. Ugh. I liked it better when Elizabeth was trying to change me, because she couldn't, but God did. I don't throw fits anymore. First of all, I'm scared I have a stroke. So here's what I'm telling you. If you just stay with each other, you eventually get what you want. And to the unmarried, said this, be very careful. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give you a judgment as one who understands the mercy and is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, now you hear Paul's mentality, because it's coming down, I think that it's good for a man to remain as he is. If you pledge to a woman, do not seek to be released. Nobody says if you engage, stay there. Okay. But if you're free from such a commitment, don't seek for a wife. But if you do marry, you've not sinned. How many of y'all glad to know if you do marry, you've not sinned, okay? In other words, marriage is a godly thing. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. But to those, now see if Paul's not telling the truth. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. True or false? So here's what I want you to know. If you choose to be married, it complicates life. Is that okay? I remember when I was first married, it was just weird. We were back at Castor Knots. When we had Castor Knots here, it's where everybody shopped back in the old days of Bowling Green. You remember that maze? I'm over there at Castor Knots. And in fact, I even had some overalls on. We'd been out doing something that day. Elizabeth needed a dress for something or another. And it's the first time I'd ever gone dress shopping with Elizabeth. Y'all husbands know that, you know. So I'm over there in the women's department going. And somebody goes, what are you doing, Harris? I go, I'm waiting on my wife. Ooh. I felt so old at 20 when I said that. I'm waiting on my wife. And I realized things had changed. I'd never been shopping in the women's department before. I'd never been through this before. Did you know this? Women are capable of taking 7 outfits into a dressing room and not buying one of them. I didn't know this. But I finally figured it out. I put it in my world. I can go shopping now. You know why? I don't shop. I hunt. I always enjoyed hunting, so I just turned shopping with my wife into her hunting experience. Sometimes you got to let things pass until you get the one you're hunting. I figured that's what women are doing. They ain't trying on 7 outfits. They hunting for the right one. They want to make sure it's a 10-point dress and not a 4-point dress. Got it. Make sense? Now, to the unmarried, it's okay to be married, is what he's saying. But he said, guess what? If you do marry, watch it. Here's what I'm telling you married folks, especially if you first get married. Don't expect it to be easy. Fair enough. It's just not easy. When you first get married, it's not easy. Women don't think like men, and men don't think like women. It's not what? Easy. I don't naturally clean up the house. I clean up the house with motivation. He says. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live if they don't have them. And those who mourn as if they were not mourning. And those who are happy as if they were not happy. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossing them. For the world in its present form are doing what? They're passing away. You know what Paul's really saying there? Don't get so caught up down here that you miss God. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs and how he can please God. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. That's what Paul's trying to say. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs, and her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world and how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good and not to restrict you, but that you may live in the right way, undivided devotion to the Lord. If you're married, there still needs to be undivided devotion to who? The Lord. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he's engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels like he ought to marry, he should do that and he's not sinning. They should get married, but the man who has settled the matter in his own mind and who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will and who has made up his own mind not to marry, this man does the right thing. So then he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her even does better, Paul says. A woman is bound to her husband as long as she lives, but her husband, if he dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she's happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I, too, have the Spirit of God. Wow, we finished. It's a lot of complicated stuff. I could go on hours and hours about this, but I want to give you get the three main points today. If you're married, stay there. Church, we want to help you. We have marriage classes. We have marriage advances. We have marriage counseling. We want you to stay married, okay? Secondly, we want you to be who you are in the Lord. Don't try to be somebody else. Third, if you are wanting to get married, you are single and you're dating and you're wanting to get married, let's do it right on the front end. Amen? So let me ask you a question. If you go to a pastor and he says, I would wait, and you go to another pastor and they said, I would wait, and you go to another pastor and I would wait, I laugh. We got people that go down the hallway of our pastors trying to find the answer they want to hear. Watch this. It's been amazing to me. How many times pastors have said, I wouldn't marry them, I wouldn't marry them, I wouldn't marry them, I wouldn't marry them, I wouldn't marry them. I wonder why pastors say that. Just because they're mean people that don't listen to God? Or do you think they do relationships every day of their lives? Why does God give the church pastors? To guide people. Sometimes when I have to tell people, I'd wait another 6 months and see what happened. I've had a few people who came back and said, Pastor, I'm glad I waited because we're not together anymore. I said a breakup's cheaper than a divorce. I've had some girls, they have been in tragic mistakes. They didn't need to get married. They chose not to get married. And they came in, and this is literally what they said to me. But I've already printed our napkins. Burn them. Use them as fire starters. I mean, what'd the napkins cost you? $200 or $300? What does being married to the wrong person cost you? Many days of pain. Be careful. Young people, if a pastor's tell you to watch out, it's because we love you deeply and we want you to have a successful marriage. It's not because we're control freaks or we're being mean. It's because we are looking and the relationship is not going together. And most of you think it works because you tingle when you get romantic. Everybody tingles when the fire is burning. We're not worried about when the fire is burning. What you all don't understand is the fireplace is off 23 hours out of the day. Now what do you do with all that other stuff? That's where the relationship takes place. Does that make sense? Y'all all cool? I want you to know that a marriage in Jesus is impossible without a relationship with Jesus today. Some of you need to make that first step. And I know that God's calling some of you to make the first step and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Why wouldn't you be forgiven? Why wouldn't you be forgiven? Be a believer. So Pastor Steve, you don't understand, our marriage, it just stinks. Well, good. Let's bring it to the altar and say, you know what, Lord? Our marriage stinks. Show us how to make it better. What have you heard in 1 Corinthians 7? God wants you to have a what? A healthy marriage. So I would surrender the marriage to God. You've listened to Oprah long enough. How's it going? Dr. Phil, he doesn't always work. You know why? He's not God. He can't forgive you. But Jesus Christ can. Some of y'all are smart. I love you young couples. You're following Jesus Christ. You're listening. We got a lot of 20-somethings, man. I'm jumping up and down. And even our teenagers, I'm jumping up and down. Guess what I'm hearing? They don't want to go through a divorce. Anybody know why? They've already been through all of ours. And you know all the people in their mind that said, you know what, we're going to divorce and it's not going to affect our kids? It affected your kids. And so now they're saying, how do we stay married? Well, here's the good news. First of all, we got to step into Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not busting on any divorced person because I'm going to tell you what, there's some grounds for divorce. Somebody steps out on you in infidelity, that's a grounds for divorce. That is biblical grounds for divorce. Number two, apostasy, which means this. They denounce Jesus Christ. We just read that one today. They denounce Jesus Christ, and they're leaving you because you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Bible say, Dave? Let them go. And we have some of those situations today. But guess what? Overall, God wants us to stay what? Married. So let's do this. Let's work together to help each other stay what? Now, part of that is you need to be positive about it. I'm telling you, marriage is a great thing in the Lord. It is. I love it that I have a wife who loves me and stays with me. We are not perfect, but God has blessed us in spite of our imperfections. But here's why. We are determined to not separate. But guess what? I want to be very honest. If Elizabeth just said, you know, I'm leaving and you can't do it, what can I do about that if she decides she's leaving? Help me with that. And I went through a dear friend of mine. He went through a divorce and it broke my heart. And what broke my heart worse was the way the church treated him. He'd been in ministry for over 40 years. Older gentleman, full of grace, peace. I don't know all that went on, but I know this. We walked into his apartment one day and there was a letter from his wife. She said, I'm gone. I'm tired of being a pastor's wife. I hate this life. I hate all the things that goes on. I am leaving you. Do not find me. What does he do? You know what the church did that he was serving? Fired him that Sunday. And if that's God's grace and mercy, I need a new Jesus. You know what Jesus does? He calls us back to life. Is that not Genesis, the revelation? He says, in spite of where you messed up, I'm not going to keep you there. I'm going to bring you to be a new person. Grace, grace, God's grace. Some of y'all marriages today, guess what they need? God's grace. Y'all need to quit fighting and start praying. Y'all need to quit God and quit telling God how your husband and your wife needs to be. You ought to listen to him and he'll tell you how you need to be. I know Elizabeth and I, marriage got better when I quit telling God what I needed and started listening to who I am. I didn't like everything he said. But I became the husband that she needed, and it was kind of weird. Then all of a sudden I had the wife I needed. Is that not magical? Repent of your own sin, and God will forgive. Amen. Some of you today, first time you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it's available here at the altar. Some of you need to be baptized. You need to lock that in. Watch this. Disobedience doesn't help your marriage. Amen. I've had moments I've been disobedient in our marriage. That didn't bless it. God wants you to be blessed. Come and be obedient. Be baptized. Some of you need to just come and pray that you stay together. How many of y'all having a good time in marriage? I mean, your marriage is going pretty good right now. Raise your hand if you got it. Okay, good. Great. Guess what y'all need to do? This would be great. Dear God, just want to thank you for a great week of marriage. It's been going good. We praise you. Keep us focused. Why do we always wait for crisis to give thanks? Why not in the good days? Amen. Well, let's stand together, man. God's blessed y'all all today. God loves everybody here. Anybody here can be saved today. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just going to ask that you draw those who need to be saved. There are some here today that need to be saved. God, I pray your mercy, your draw, your strength in their lives. God, I want to confess I can't save anybody. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. But the Holy Spirit desires today that people would believe. If that's you, ask him, Lord Jesus. Just ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. You say, Pastor Steve, I've done a lot of wrong things. That's why I'd ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. He said, will he do that? He says this, you have not because you ask not. So receive in the name of Jesus. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe through this week of ministry somewhere, and you know you need to be baptized, we're going to invite you to be obedient in baptism and to come and say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to be buried and risen in Christ. If you're married today, look at me a minute at the altar. Maybe you need to come and give thanks. Okay, if you're in a marriage struggle right now, let's pray God heal it. Amen. You know what? I live in a church. It's called Hillview Heights. That's my church community. And in my church community, I witness a lot of miracles in marriage. And then I got people been married forever. Jimmy, you and Marv been married almost forever. How long?
53 years. Crazy. Big John, y'all got what, 54 in? 54 years. That's crazy. And the reason I bring that up is not to embarrass either one of you. But I know both of them. You know why? What I like about them? They're not just married. They actually like it. Now, right, Christine? You actually in love with Big John. That's amazing. She said, sort of. That's probably honest. But Adam, you and your lovely bride, soon to be Doc, guess what? I want y'all to know it's possible. And I want you to hear from a generation that's gone before you, it's possible. Y'all got about 30 in, don't you? Isn't that neat? Do you ever think she'd stay with you for 30 years? Man, that's the way I look at my wife. I go, man, I can't even believe you took me, much less stayed. But you can stay. But I want to tell you, it takes some prayer. It takes a lot of confession. It takes being honest. And when you get that way, guess what happens? God blesses it. Always. This altar's open. And it's not open for us to stare at. It's open for us to come and pray in. So I invite you now in the name of Jesus to come receive Christ. Be baptized. Pray over your marriage. Pray for your children. Let's come and use this altar for what God gave it for us. For, to pray and to be healed. So the altar's open and you're invited to come experience it. So in the name of Jesus, will you come and will you be healed in the name of Jesus? Come on, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you heal marriages. You bring people in strength. You show them your grace. You forgive them of all of us of our sin, Lord. Restore us in who you've made us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.